Okay, we're going to call to order the Senate Special Committee on World Trade, Technology, and Innovations. It is the 18th of February. It is 5:20, and present for the record are Senators Stevens, Wilkowski, French, and myself, McGuire. And we have one item on the agenda today, and that is the subject of workforce development in Alaska, and more specifically, preparing Alaskans for jobs, emerging careers and jobs in alternative energy technologies. And we have a great group of people here today that have been hard at work on workforce development generally and educating Alaskans. We've invited to come before us today and share their views of how we can move forward. And I just want to state as a broader goal, the Senate has been hard at work on a variety of things in the area of alternative energy, production tax credits, and energy policy that will include many of the baseline goals for alternative energy. We passed a weatherization package last year. We just passed out of legislative budget and audit an approval for $100 million in grants through the Alaska Energy Authority in the area of alternative energy projects that will be scattered all throughout the state of Alaska. And so we know that there are people who will be developing those projects and working on those projects and thinking about them, and we're hoping that many of those people will be young Alaskans that are in our school system today, and that will have exciting, good-paying careers in this area. And so that's this is meant to be the first of what we hope to be many conversations between yourself, all of you, and the Senate. We welcome the opportunity to work with you and understand that each of you have your individual visions that that you've been working on. So we have Commissioner Larry Ledoux with the Department of Education and Early Development, and he'll speak first. We have Commissioner Clip Bishop with the Department of Labor and Workforce Development next, and then we're honored to have Chancellor Fran Ulmer with the University of Alaska Anchorage, and she will also be introducing Chancellor of the University of Alaska Fairbanks, Brian Rogers. And then we have Fred Esposito, who is the head of the Alaska Vocational Technical Center. So thank you very much. And you're going to go up with Commissioner. Okay. So Larry, Commissioner Ledoux, welcome. And there is, in our packets, and we'll post it to BASIS, the presentation by Commissioner Ledoux.
Thank you, Senator McGuire. I'm very happy to be here. I started my career as a career and technical teacher in electronics communication, and it's always great to talk about what I used to do. One of the best things happening in Alaska today in career and technology education is sitting right behind me in the persona of Clip Bishop, the Commissioner of Labor and Workforce Development. I came into an environment in career and technical education from K-12 that in the last 10 years has declined dramatically. We have fewer students in career and technical education in Alaska than we did in 1998. We have more students enrolled, but fewer students in career and technology. The Department of Labor and Workforce Development has developed a number of programs, and we are attempting to catch up and mesh with them. And I have to tell you, this is different than in most states. Usually high schools or K-12 are the leaders in career and technical education, and they beg the Department of Labor to work with them. It's just the opposite. We're eager to catch up, and we're eager to work with them, and I wanted to say that.
Great.
We have approximately 17,000 students in Alaska who took one career technology course last year in Alaska. We had approximately 1,000 students who took two courses that were related to each other in a career cluster. We had almost 3,000 students participate in tech prep programs, and a tech prep program is a program that's articulated with the university or a tech center so the students can achieve credit for their participation within a high school class. So that seems like a lot of students, but I would like it to be a lot more, okay, just so that you know. Within Alaska, we have 172 comprehensive high schools that attempt to offer vocational or career technology programs. So in small schools throughout Alaska, you may find a room that's designed as a general shop where they try to deliver programs. Also throughout the state, you will find many shops used as storerooms because they don't have the personnel or the funding to offer programs in those communities. What we see developing in Alaska, though, and that's probably the worst-case scenario, we also have some of the finest facilities in the world in Alaska for training young people in high schools. Besides the 172 comprehensive high schools, we have magnet career technology schools, the Hutchinson Technical Center in Fairbanks, and the Matsu Career and Technical High School in Wasilla are magnet high schools. We also have career-focused programs where students can stay enrolled in their home high school, and they move to another, or they take part of the day in a special center. And this would be the King Career Center in Anchorage, the Matsu-wide programs in Matsu, NACTEC, which is a partnership between Bering Straits and Nome City Schools. And we have construction academies in Anchorage, Fairbanks, Matsu, Kenai, Juneau, and Ketchikan, and they may expand. These are very exciting programs. We have several boarding schools that offer vocational programs to the best of their ability. One of the emerging exciting programs is taking place in Galena, which is the Galena Interior Learning Academy. We also have the Nenana Living Center, and we have a vocational and technical program small at Mount Edgecombe High School. And we also have a number of programs that exist simply because people have applied for competitive grants, and so they're just existing temporarily as they seek funds to stay alive. And the Sitka Career Consortium, and we have a really fine program in Bethel, I really can't pronounce it, so I will not try to, that is trying to educate young people in health careers. With regard to alternative energy and renewable energy careers, it's a perfect area for career and technical education to expand in. At this point in time, there are no specific programs that are approved in alternative careers or energy conservation within Alaska in the K-12 system. I'd like to read a quote, though, of why this is so important. And I just pulled this off the web with my newest information on the stimulus package, which comes in hour by hour, but I'll just read this. The moves are in concert with President Obama's declared goal of doubling the use of renewable energy in 3 years, potentially placing states with established programs in a position to replace thousands of manufacturing jobs lost over the last decade. The journal says that Hemlock Semiconductor Corporation, which is building the giant manufacturing facility originally intended to attract an auto company in Tennessee, plans to spend $2.2 billion to expand solar operations in Michigan. States are looking over current economic downturn, and many expect a boom in alternative energy investments. The competition to attract green industry jobs heated up several years ago and is expected to grow tighter with more money in play. Yeah. So this is a high growth industry in the United States. As I said, there are no specific CT programs that focus on alternative or renewable energy development. Currently, any programs that exist in Alaska are based on the innovation of teachers or principals who have applied for money and are trying for projects, or have applied for projects. For instance, the Bristol Bay High School is working on a program to build an energy efficient VW bug. It may be small, but the instruction that goes with it is exciting. The Matsu Home Construction Program has emphasized energy efficient windows, mold prevention, and energy efficient building techniques. The Nome Junior ROTC has incorporated the Young Engineers Program. And a really exciting program, and I did put in your packets pictures of their website, is a group of seniors in a physics class in Cordova. And if you have a chance to visit Cordova and visit this class, you are going to see the very best of what Alaska can produce. And they've created a website called the Cordova Energy Center. And they've been talking and working and exploring ways to generate energy within Cordova and to actually conserve energy. They've talked about things like frictionless paint on their fishing boats. They've talked about wind power. They have a lake there that generates a lot of methane, and they're trying to figure out a way to collect methane when the ice freezes over so that they could use it. But mostly, it's an exciting synergy that's going on when these kids are working together. I was hoping at some point that they could actually testify and you could have a chance to listen
yes.
to their creativity and energy. In Sitka, we had the Alaska Energy Careers, which was funded by a grant. And I put in your packet also a copy of an architectural design program from Kodiak, where you can see that students are actively involved in learning how to design energy-efficient buildings in Alaska. There's a lot of good things happening here and there, but they're not put together into a comprehensive program that students can participate in, and they're certainly not connected to some of the other programs that are developing at Avtech or the University of Alaska. The challenges of developing a comprehensive program in energy technologies really are the same that we're facing in career and technology education, and I'm just going to mention some of those. We don't have a curriculum. We don't have the teachers. We don't have the specialty. And this is particularly difficult in rural Alaska. We do not have the facility space in many locations, and we do not have the funding. I think that most vocational directors, superintendents, and principals will tell you that when the legislature went to a block funding of career and technical education, the funds started flowing away from specific programs, and there was not the money to buy equipment and to support the small classroom instruction size. So that's a concern, and also the declining enrollment. Some of the strengths of our program, as I mentioned, are the Department of Labor and Workforce Development, and certainly included in that is the University of Alaska that generates hundreds and hundreds of graduates, two-year graduates, in many career and technical fields. We have very strong industry partnerships in Alaska that are helping to keep the programs alive, contributing money, expertise, materials, and space. It's a high priority in Alaska, and I think that, as I said, we're moving forward. There are a number of potential programs that are developing. The STEM project, which is the science, technology, engineering, and math program, which is trying to draw people into some of the engineering programs necessary to support this new technology. We have the Nome and Bering Straits, who are working together, trying to put together a program on their wind farm that they've developed. We have the construction academies, who are making a serious attempt to look at training auditors and those who would work with supporting energy conservation. And a program that I was involved with in Kodiak recently was the electric co-op was going to put a windmill on the school site and develop a program around it where the young people would take care of it and manage it and collect data for it. Hmm. The possibilities for the future are to develop a comprehensive approved K-12 energy curriculum. It's doable. Many states have done that. I believe that it would be really wonderful if the state of Alaska sponsored some competitions in renewable energy innovations. I've been involved in some of these competitions, and it just energizes young people to bring together and start addressing some of Alaska's challenges and concerns. And I included in your packet some programs around the country that are generating tremendous interest. Many times these programs are sponsored by the university. I think that it would be great to develop, in conjunction with the Department of Labor and Avtech and the university, a tech prep program in renewable energy careers. And finally, one of the things that we could do to support K-12 programming is to make available something that I have direct experience with, and that's innovative mini-grants to schools in renewable energy resources. The Alaska Science and Technology Foundation used to fund $5,000 grants, and I can tell you, if you ever had a chance to see what young people were able to produce with $5,000 and the innovative research that they were able to conduct, those programs never would have left. It's a small amount of money, but it would do great things. Thank you. If you look through your packet, you'll see some interesting information that...
Thank you very much, Commissioner, and I know you have another time commitment, but I appreciate it, and especially highlighting what the students in Cordova and Bristol Bay are up to, and we'll post it to the basis so other Alaskans can see what's going on. We appreciate your work. Look forward to working with you. Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much. Next, we have Commissioner Bishop and Fred Esposito. And that is in our packets. Entitled Training for Emerging Alternative Energy Technology Jobs.
Did you need me to display that?
Turn the mic.
This will advance as a normal.
Does it? It's a PDF, so just go page.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. And again, my name is Fred Esposito. I'm the director of Avtech. Introduce Commissioner.
For the record, my name's Commissioner Bishop, and Senator, all of you, I want to thank you for inviting us here today. We had a great little chat there yesterday before we boarded the airplane, was able to give a 50,000-foot version of what we're going to talk about here today. And I just, if you would allow me just to paint just a little bit of a picture before we kick off and get into the slides.
Absolutely, Commissioner, yes.
I want to thank Commissioner Ledoux for his kind words, and it is a real blessing to have somebody over there in education that has a real passion for vocational ed, CTE, career and technical ed, if you will. And it's a pleasure to have him on board, and I enjoy working with him. And it's also a pleasure to have Chancellor Ulmer sitting behind me, because I'm a coalition builder. I like working together, you know, and it's a real pleasure to work with the university system and education. And we are working closely together. And if you would allow me, I'd just like to read a couple of paragraphs on a letter that I had written the university. And it'll answer some of the questions you and I talked about yesterday and kind of set the tone where labor, education, and the university is going in the field of workforce development and also into innovation on green technology. Dear President Hamilton, I'm seeking your support to, I'm going to paraphrase and not read the whole thing, but I'll get into the meat of it. I'm seeking your support to develop a strategy for the post-secondary system for career and technical education in this state to ensure that they are aligned to train and educate our citizens without needless duplications of programs and investments. Hopefully, you will join me in this endeavor to make sure that we position the state of Alaska to be in the right place at the right time with the right programs to assist Alaskans in getting quality jobs in Alaska, maximizing Alaska resident hire overall and reducing the number of, and the amount of wages that are leaving our state. So that kind of sets the tone where we are working together to cut out duplications of services, strengthen our programs individually, and move forward. Specifically in the area of green technology, Fred and I work closely together. We've known each other professionally for probably 17 years at least. And I have one thing I'm not short on is vision. And I read a lot. And looking forward, and you always have to look forward in the education and training world, because if you need it, somebody knocks on your door and you need it today, it's too late. You have to, if you're not looking 3 to 5 years down the road on technology, you can't catch up. So getting back to green technology, I had asked Fred, and as it, we'll get into our slides here, and we'll try to be punctual and move right through here for your benefit, but I asked Fred about 8 months ago. I says, you know, I've been all over this state. There's wind turbines, specifically that I've seen in Kotzebue. There's wind turbines in Nome. There's wind turbines throughout other villages in Alaska. And I said, to my knowledge, there is nobody delivering the hands-on training on the repair and maintenance of these turbines. And that's something I would like us to look at and explore to be able to deliver that training in the state. And also, to take that one step further, with the hydro technology too. We have the ability in Seward to do hydro training, and I'll let Fred get into that a little bit as we go through our slides. So we are looking forward, and we are collaborating with the university system and education. So with that being said, thank you, and Fred, would you take off?
Thank you, Commissioner.
Well, just to start off, a little bit on the mission statement for those that might not be familiar with the ABTEC mission statement. And we are, our mission statement is to train a diverse and effective workforce that supports the economic growth and stability of our state. And that mission statement encompasses, as Commissioner Bishop described, looking forward and looking to the future for those technologies that are going to impact our workforce. Just again, real briefly, AVTEC is a component of the Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development. We've been providing career training since 1969, almost 40 years, based in Seward with a program in Anchorage and a robust distance delivery mechanism as well. Last year, we enrolled approximately 1,200 students in job preparatory or job upgrade training programs. A little bit about our energy programs before we talk about renewable and alternative, just to show that we do have a history in energy-related job training. We've been providing the diesel power plant operator training program for quite a long time at AVTEC. It's an 8-week training program. It operates in partnership with the Alaska Energy Authority. So those communities that are served by the Energy Authority, they recruit their operators and their assistant operators to AVTEC, and we provide the training.
That's great.
We have an operating power plant with four diesel generators hooked into a gear system that we can put a load on, and so it's an actual working operating power plant. In conjunction with that, we also provide bulk fuel plant operator training, and that's a good addition to the diesel program. It allows usually the diesel operator in the community is also operating the bulk fuel plant, and so they have to abide by a lot of OSHA and safety rules, as well as energy efficiency, make the best of the fuel that they do have. We're moving into alternative energy job training, as Commissioner Bishop stated, and at his specific request and direction, we've been looking more and more at what we can do as a statewide institution to address this need. We have a small hydroelectric plant in Seward at the base of Mount Marathon. It's been inoperable. It was built some years ago and mothballed for various reasons. And so we've recaptured that facility and are using it. You see some pictures here of the actual hydroelectric plant and of the penstock up at the top, about halfway up Mount Marathon, that holds the water. It needs some work, and we're working with the City of Seward and the Energy Authority to find some dollars to try to upgrade the switchgear, clean out the penstock area there, and make this back into an operating hydroelectric plant so that we can not only use it as a training prop, but also use it to generate some electricity. It's the water's running, the blade is spinning, it's just not, the electrical system needs to be upgraded and integrated.
We've been joined by Senator Huggins. Thank you.
Ma'am, and I would like to also, we're always looking for ways to work more efficiently. And I thought that by getting this up and running and be able to get it online and get it in the grid, we could lower our operating costs at Seward and be able to maybe spread some of those resources in other areas where we need to upgrade our tooling and curriculum for our students. So it comes 7/24, 365. It's as green as it gets, and I'm a big fan of hydro.
How much power is that plant capable of producing?
The plant is capable of producing more than the water flow will allow. The water flow will allow for 100 kW, and I think it's a 250 kW kilowatt plant. So 100 kilowatt is the size of the ability of the plant to produce, to bring it back online. And we fully intend to bring it back online. The interesting thing about this program is that before we developed the curriculum in conjunction with the Energy Authority, they were sending folks to receive training down at the Hoover Dam. And the scale just doesn't compare to the hydro scale that we have here in Alaska. So this is much more Alaskanized program.
Excellent.
We're keeping the training and the students here in Alaska.
And so the idea might be that there's a potential to replicate this model in other parts of Alaska, maybe even rural Alaska.
Absolutely. And as we are building more hydro facilities, and learning how to integrate those facilities with existing diesel and other energy generation capacities. Then we start to talk about the integration of these alternative energy sources with standard energy sources, and that's really where the benefit comes, because these communities are faced with not only adding alternative energies, but then how do you integrate the two or three sources of energy together to make a viable energy source. What we've done as most recently is about over a year ago, we installed a meteorological tower on Aptek property to study wind and the potential wind source in Seward. And so we've been studying that in conjunction with the Alaska Energy Authority. And as a result, we have submitted an application to the round two of the renewable energy grant process to purchase and install a wind turbine on Aptek property. And what this would allow us to do is, again, tie that wind into the existing diesel plant and be able to show and integrate and teach about the integration of those two energy sources. So if we're successful, if we get the installation, we'll be able to provide the ongoing hands-on training and create a world-class wind diesel operator training program.
Very exciting. Two things. I assume you're watching the federal stimulus package and places where you can leverage and integrate. And the second is keep watch of, we'll have a Senate net metering bill, and there's certainly one in the House. And if you think about that carried out in both your hydro project and your wind project, the concept of putting energy back into the grid and getting a net metering for that, which would reduce, I would assume, your overall cost of running your training facility.
Exactly. Senator, Madam Chairman, that's exactly part of the method to the madness, why I wanted to get the hydro up and get the wind turbine up to get the metering charge, try to raise some revenue for the school as well.
Yeah.
Not only through a cost savings of generating their own power, but also through the net back. I just like to add, I know you guys are probably all over this. I've been watching your committee hearings. I haven't got to see each one in its entirety, but the president, I said that he wants to double the number of wind turbines in the United States in the next 24 months. And that would be a net increase of 20,000 wind turbines around the United States. So, I don't know what Alaska's looking to get. I have no idea, but we want to be on the front end of having the skilled, trained workforce here to be able to service our own turbines.
Don't you know somebody you could talk to? We could talk to somebody else.
Probably.
Okay. Just think about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Continue on.
The next slide shows an overhead shot of the Aptek property and where we are proposing to place the wind turbine, which is right next to the facility, the existing facility that houses our diesel generation power plant and our switchgear. So co-location would allow for close integration, low-cost, close integration of those two power sources. This would allow for, again, the creation of a world-class wind diesel training program at the Aptek campus in Seward, the installation of one 100 kW wind turbine, and most importantly, provide opportunities for rural power plant operators to gain hands-on training and education regarding the operation of wind diesel systems. The objectives of this program would be to establish the world-class program, support the interests of stakeholders from across Alaska, including wind diesel system owners and operators, the rural Alaska Electric Cooperatives, and the Alaska Energy Authority, bringing those partners together, those stakeholders together, to create this program. So we want a hands-on educational opportunity for on-campus installation and to utilize standardized, proven, and relevant technologies for Alaskan applications. Included in this program, along the lines of what Commissioner Ledoux was speaking about, we are envisioning a K-12 outreach program where we would be able to get young people, young Alaskans, excited about and interested in careers in emerging technologies for energy. There are currently no wind diesel training programs in the state. Energy Authority had been sending students outside to the manufacturer in Vermont to get training. So we're trying to bring this training home. There are approximately 20 wind projects in operation across Alaska right now. And the Renewable Energy Fund, the applications, 23% of those were for wind. So a lot of interest in wind.
Fastest growing alternative energy.
Yes.
We've been told over and over.
This is a significant investment in renewable energy, and we're prepared to ensure that Alaskans can manage the existing and the new systems.
If I may make a comment, we're talking about utility, we're talking about 20 specific.
It's odd.
Someone missing a cat?
Is there a mute button for that? There's a stray cat on the... There's a cat in the hallway. Okay.
We're talking about, 20 utility size operations around the state, but we haven't even begun to think about the mom and pops that might be in Senator Huggins' district or in rural Alaska where you got the people live at a bush. I know several friends of mine live in the bush that have their own small-scale wind turbine that powers their home. And, when we develop this, this curriculum is not just for Avtech. We're going to share this with the university system. We're going to share this with Commissioner Ledoux in the K-12 system. So my point being with these small operators at a community college type setting where mom and pop might be able to come in the evening and take advantage of some of this training to service their own turbines at home.
Excellent. It's wonderful.
As I stated earlier, the wind diesel system operators have been sent out of state for the necessary training. We want to bring that training home and develop our own experience and expertise in the technologies. The Avtech program will be based on that successful program that's already been established by AVEC. Benefits of the program, well, we'll be able to significantly reduce the costs by providing that training in state, as well as expanded curriculums for not only introduction, but also intermediate and advanced technologies. We estimate we'll be able to realize a savings of approximately $97,000 a year by not sending students out of state for this training. The payback, estimate a payback of about 6.5 years if we are able to utilize some of the energy from this wind turbine to offset our electrical costs at the school. And the total grant request is relatively minor compared to the amount of projects that are being funded in the first two rounds. And The project contributions from the partners are greatly enhanced the amount of funding that we've requested.
And for the committee, we've also got our eye on the ball on the stimulus package from the money that's in the Department of Labor, Federal Department of Labor specifically. The last version I saw, there was a portion, and don't quote me on the money, because it was going to be grant driven for green energy technology within ETA, Department of Labor. So we've got our eye on the ball and a backup plan in case we are not successful in this round.
Excellent. That's great. Well, anything with geothermal?
Not yet, but we're talking to folks. There's some folks in Russia that have inquired about geothermal training, and we would like to look in-state for those opportunities.
Great. Excellent. Any questions? Any further questions? Or comments? Senator Huggins?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chairman. You mentioned a couple of partners. Excuse me, Fred, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Fred. You mentioned a couple of partners. Could you just give us a minor expansion of what that means?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins. The partners for this project right now would be AVEC,
okay.
Alaska Energy Authority,
okay.
And the existing energy cooperatives, as well as K-12 system and the University of Alaska. We're all would be potential partners in developing this program.
Okay. And if I might, Madam Chairman, the integration of these systems appears to be one of the challenges. Are you up to that challenge, or you already got it solved, or what's the answer?
From following your committee, and when you're talking about the integration of these systems, when you're talking about the line loss and the upgrades of line from the turbine back into the diesel piece?
Everything from base load to, you know, how you manage the system integrations when one system kicks in, one reduces, and how you manage that integration.
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, we communities are dealing with that right now, and AVEC has been working on the installation of the switchgear and the management the software management systems, because really it comes down to software.
Right.
The software management systems that will allow the engineers to set the systems up for appropriate integration, and then training those folks that are left behind to maintain and operate these systems to be able to monitor, react when there's problems, and keep the systems up and running. So the technology exists. It's being installed and implemented in communities today, and we know that that's a growing field. The specific wind turbine that we're looking to install has a smart software monitoring system that will allow us to mimic what's going on in these smaller communities where the integration of, specifically the integration of wind and diesel is occurring, so that we can troubleshoot, problem solve, look at the different situations that they'll run into.
Senator Huggins.
Chairman, just if I might to follow up, I know in Anchorage on Diamond, I believe there's a vendor. Is the vendor a player in your system, or?
Right now, the most common wind turbine that's being installed in rural Alaska is a Northwind product, 100 kW Northwind product that's manufactured in Vermont, and that is the type of wind turbine that we're talking about installing.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions or comments? Thank you very much, Commissioner, and Fred. We really appreciate your testimony. We look forward to continuing to work with you and hearing your updates
as
they come. And next, we have Chancellor Ulmer, the University of Alaska, Anchorage.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, thank you very much for giving me an opportunity to speak with you today on the topic of the University of Alaska and the role it might play in the green jobs economy. I realize that at 6 o'clock at night, it's really hard to say anything particularly interesting that might stick. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to expedite my comments and then leave most of the time for questions to be able to respond to what might be most interesting to you. What I'd like to do is take about 3 or 4 minutes to breeze through at sort of the 30,000 foot level the variety of ways in which the University of Alaska can be of assistance to the state of Alaska as it moves into a green job economy. Then I'll talk just real briefly about the education and training piece that I think is very important as we go into a new economy. And then maybe just sum up very, very briefly with some of the challenges that I see. Let me start by saying the University of Alaska, as you know, has 3 major campuses, Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau, and about a dozen additional community campuses all over Alaska. And I'll talk mainly about UAA, which has 20,000 students. Of the 30,000 full statewide University of Alaska student body. But I will also mingle in a few things about UAF and UAS. I had hoped that Brian Rogers, Chancellor at UAF, was going to be able to join me, but he hasn't yet emerged, so I'll try to cover a little bit, at least for UAF, because we are one system. So just very, very briefly, we all know that green jobs potential, both nationally and in our state, it's just emerging as something that we understand could have a powerful impact in terms of our ability to not only grow our own, but grow our own in a sustainable and renewable way that might also hopefully cut energy costs. That would be a goal. Tremendous potential. And certainly as a university looks to how it might be of assistance, there are four major ways. As a trainer, we've been talking about training tonight. That is certainly one important way. Secondly, as an innovator, as a way of sort of transferring knowledge from research into the field. Thirdly, as a partner, being able to be someone who can add and offer technical expertise to private sector, to communities, to individuals. And finally, as a facilitator, trying to make sure that the various entities that are trying to reach some common objective, the university can help to facilitate that. First of all, in terms of trainer, obviously that's the core of what the university does, education and training. And I might just note, I don't think I have to tell you how important it is that we are not only graduating our high school students with strong math and science skills, but also reading, writing, computer, and also the ability to learn new skills. Learning how to learn. When I talk to people about what the most important things that we can be doing at all levels of education, it's those basic building blocks, math and science, the STEM fields, but it's also making sure that we're training and educating people so that they can adjust, because the world as we see it today is going to be very different 5, 10, 15 years. So that's, we consider, a very, very important part of what we're doing. So it's not only specific job training for specific career paths, which is important, but it's this broader goal of an educated citizenry. We do have very specific job training career paths at all of our university campuses, and I know that doesn't show up very, very well, but attached in some of the materials that you have, you will see these career paths for finance, for air traffic controllers, for culinary arts, for everything from certificate and associate degrees through four-year degrees and master's degrees. The point is to make it easy for people to think about alternative careers, what kind of requirements in terms of K through 12, higher education, and what kind of jobs they might get. I could spend an hour on these. The career pathway things are an important part of what we do. Secondly, as an innovator, as you probably know, research is particularly important at UAF. It's important at all campuses, but UAF has the lion's share of research in this state. And the energy field particularly has been something that UAF has worked on for a long, long time. We are hopeful that we can help make the technology transfer a piece of decision making, both for public policy people, for investors, for communities, in a way that will be very helpful. As a partner, the university does participate with a whole lot of entities, including, I'm happy to say, the Department of Labor, the Department of Education, the administration in general. We have really found a lot of wonderful partnerships over the last couple of years, and that helps us all do a better job. And as a facilitator of entrepreneurship, this is something we don't talk about a whole lot, but frankly, we need to grow entrepreneurs in this state as much as we need to grow engineers and nurses and dental hygienists. And I'm not sure that, I know, I can say that I don't think we've done a good enough job of focusing on this business development piece and growing entrepreneurs. We do some things very, very well. Masters in business administration, accounting, etc. But actually providing competitions, entrepreneurial competitions, to help grow the next generation of entrepreneurs. We do have programs like the Center for Economic Development, SBDC, and others that help, but I don't think we yet can say that we are where we want to be. We have lots of institutes and research centers, both at UAA and at UAF, as well as programs at UAS that are working toward this goal, but it is still a goal that I think we have a lot more work to be done. So again, summing up, there's the training and education piece, there's the research, there's the entrepreneurial development, there's the transferring of the innovations and the technology to industry, to communities, to individuals, and there are partnerships. I think in general, if you think about the current education and training at the University of Alaska that supports a green energy economy, we have to talk about a few very important ones. Most of the alternative energy jobs will be in the area of construction, installation, operations and management, and economic analysis and research on feasibility of projects. And in terms of a lot of what is being done right now, construction management is a very strong program at UAA. Engineering is a very strong program at both UAF and UAA. And I might just note that currently we're graduating about 100 engineers a year, combined UAA and UAF. The regions have set a goal of doubling the number of engineers that we graduate, so we move up to 200. Actually, when you listen to the engineering companies, the oil and gas industry, the mining industry, the construction industry, they'd like even more than that. But that's our current goal, and we are on a track to do that. You probably know in the university's capital budget request, we've asked for $25 million this year for planning for for both UAA and UAF to be able to grow its engineering programs. Because whether you're talking about alternative energy development or the existing oil and gas industry or any number of our resource development economies, we need more engineers, and we need to grow our own engineers.
Yep. Senator Huggins.
You mentioned the budget, Fran. Are those dollars in the budget?
The $25 million is a capital request,
okay,
which is not in the governor's request. It is in the region's request to you, and that $25 million would be to do the planning and design work for expansion of our facilities at both UAA and UAF. And we consider that an extremely important building block for, as I said, both traditional energy development as well as alternative energy development. And so I hope you will add that as you're thinking about what are the pieces of the puzzle. That's an important piece of the puzzle. Construction management, I mentioned.
On that point, too, yes. Briefly, yes, Chancellor, I assume you've talked about, but don't know, the idea, too, of attracting and retaining educated, intellectually curious individuals from outside to come to and be trained at this in these engineering programs. So not just training Alaskans and keeping a, you know, stopping the brain drain, but the idea that if it grew and we had the capacity and some of these expertise, particularly if we did in alternative energy, that we might be bringing new minds into our state for the jobs that would stay.
Well, it's always a good idea to attract new energetic people who will help build Alaska's future, but I'll be honest, as chancellor, I feel my first responsibility is to try my darndest to create slots in the engineering school, in our nursing school, in our accounting school, in our business school, in our logistics program for Alaskans, yes, to get them the kind of education and training necessary so that they can get these great jobs. Because about half of the engineers that are currently licensed in Alaska today actually got their license outside. They're doing business here, but they're licensed outside. So we want to grow our own. I mean, the Arctic engineering and a variety of the things that are actually taught as a part of the engineering programs at both UAA and UAF are pretty important for the people who are doing business here. And we hear this from engineering firms that have to recruit outside and bring engineers up here, how expensive it is, how challenging in terms of getting them to stay, retaining, and the fact that they have to do, once they're here, they have to learn a lot about doing business, doing engineering in Alaska. So again, this, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I think it is an important part in thinking about how we can build both the alternative energy economy, but also the gas line and a whole variety, yes, of other major projects that we hope will be a part of Alaska's future.
Absolutely. Senator French.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and welcome, Chancellor. I had the opportunity to meet with some UAA engineering students before I came down here for the session. As my office was being dismantled and hauled off to Juneau, I sat and in the boxes and met with two folks from the engineering school. And I think for a class project, this promising young engineering student had developed a center, a small, 2,000 square foot center that would be located in his mind in Girdwood. And it would be something along the lines of what Mr. Esposito was doing in Seward, which is to create a place where you can study micro hydro projects and micro wind projects and other small scalable renewable energy projects where you would train people to fix them, train people to install them, send those individuals with that training out into various places in the bush. And I just could not have been more impressed with the thought, with the attention. And I'd asked him, how far up the chain of command he had taken this idea. And I don't know if it's reached your level of awareness yet, but I just wanted to say that it was really remarkable, the work and the thoughtfulness that had gone into that, which strikes me as being exactly what this committee is trying to get at today, which is sort of places where you can grow our own, teach our own, and live more lightly as we go into the 21st century.
Senator French, I have been briefed by those engineering students, and they're very enthusiastic, and they're very smart, and they are trying to work with the Anchorage municipality to see whether something like this could be done on municipal land in Girdwood and see if there's enough, synergy there to make something happen. It is still pretty early in the process, and it has not been vetted through, the university decision-making system, which, is its own system. But it is definitely a concept that both some of our students and our faculty are excited about. And this raises an interesting question, which has been discussed a little bit this evening. There are so many ideas out there. Avtec, Girdwood, the Mat-Su campus is developing a wind training program that they have actually been working with also some of the private sector folks that are planning to do some major wind development in this state. And it's really true. It makes no sense for us to do these all independently without talking to each other. The good news is you're creating forums like this one for us to listen to each other and learn from each other. The good news is we do have a lot of open dialogue and cooperation at all levels. But I think part of the frustration and one of the things I wanted to end with is just when there is so much going on kind of all at one time, and now with the stimulus funding in addition, both for capital projects and also for training programs, $500 million for energy training in the stimulus, $500 million for healthcare training in the stimulus. Exactly the best way to use that money and focus it and make sure that we get the most leverage. I don't have the answer sitting here tonight for you. I really don't. I could only say that there is a phenomenal amount of good things happening already. Yeah. At our university system that I'm very proud of. Our logistics center is fabulous. Our project management program, our master's in project management, is one of only 18 in the world that is accredited. As a matter of fact, Alaska Airlines flies our faculty at UAA down to Seattle to teach their project management cohort. They don't go to the University of Washington or Seattle University. They have come to UAA and contracted with us to teach the project management class to Alaska Airlines executives. These are good news stories, all of which fit together with the alternative energy economy of the future. Project management, construction management, engineering, logistics, in addition to a whole array of technical programs that we offer, welding, I could go on and on. So the good news is you should be very proud of the fact that you have a strong university, you have strong programs throughout the state, trying to work together to do the most we can for our students, for your constituents, and for the state's economy. The challenge is that there's almost so much going on that it's impossible to get your arms around it and understand it and coordinate it. And I just want to thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the committee, for making your best efforts to create the opportunities for us to learn from each other, listen to each other, and hopefully work better together.
Absolutely, and thank you so much, Chancellor. And that's what we mean to do, is open up the dialogue, and also so that we can put our legislative support in the appropriate places, the places that augment and don't supplant existing efforts out there. And on my last point, I agree, training our own and growing our own is the number one goal.
But just in terms of strategic long-term planning, it could well be that a part of our economy ends up becoming expertise and training, much as you talked about the global logistics and project planning. And you know, there are other countries that have become experts in geothermic energy and things like this that people fly in from around the world to get that kind of training, and that's a part of their economy as well. So just something to think about, but we have to get our own trained first, and I understand that, and I appreciate that that's where your heart is. So anything further from any committee members? Okay, we are adjourned.
Thank you very much.